Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome. Sit back and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki, and today we have with us Jed Kirschbaum, Esquire. He's a highly experienced and sought-after U.S. attorney with more than 25 years of professional experience. He has a mission for positivity and compassion, and he aims to help people and organizations to find justice relating to personal injury cases, product liability cases, medical malpractice, and more throughout Florida and the U.S. And he has a wonderful new best-selling book that will give you so much information that you need to know how justice is served. Jed, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it, Vicki.
So, Jed, tell us a little bit about your background, because I just gave a really brief overview of the wonderful things that you've done for people and how committed you are to your profession.
Sure. Well, thank you. I'm a kid born and raised in Miami, Florida. I went away for college. I came back for law school. And my father was a trial attorney. So I sort of grew up watching my father try cases. And it really appealed to me because I asked him one time why he works so hard and what he does. And he said, we're so fortunate, we're obligated to give something back and to hold those responsible for hurting others accountable. And they really influenced me, those words, as a young adolescent and into my teenage years. And so when I finished college, I came back to Miami and went to the University of Miami School of Law, where I really took that to heart. And I was lucky enough to join my father, who had me try some criminal cases and family cases until I found my niche in the area of medical malpractice, where I really was upset that the very large insurance companies that sort of run the courts and control America are just not held accountable for hurting people that trusted them, relied on them, and quite frankly, don't have the wherewithal in terms of their education or their finances to hold them responsible for hurting them. And I sort of made that my mission, that if I was going to work this hard and not be with my children, that I was going to do something good in the world and help people that need help and can't help themselves. And that's always been my driving factor in the work that I do.
Well, I really admire that, and I feel personally connected to your commitment because my father died of a malpractice situation, and unfortunately, my mother was not emotionally able to bring herself to bring suit that should have been brought because the death was so close. And in medical malpractice back when my father died, and I'm not sure if it's still the case now, but the statute of limitations was very short considering the grief that people go through. So I have great admiration that you're helping people with that, because my feeling is that from my personal experience as well as from working with medical professionals over a time, it needs to go right. There's no excuses really when it doesn't. And so I so appreciate what you do. So tell me a little bit about how the book came about.
Sure. I've been trying cases my whole career. I tried my first case 1 month after I passed the bar exam, and I second chaired that case with my father and have gone on to obviously try cases on my own since then. But I started very early on trying cases, and the older I got, more experienced I got and went to court, less and less attorneys I saw, especially younger attorneys, really knew how to try cases. They're not trained well. They're not fortunate enough to have a really good mentor. When I was a very young attorney, my father would have me do work some days and say there's a trial going on with a famous lawyer, maybe with J.B. Spence or someone else, and said, go to court, watch them, learn. And I was fortunate enough that I did that, and I took work with me, and I sat in a courtroom for days and days seeing how to try cases. And I think, unfortunately, that's been lost in our profession. It just doesn't really happen. And so I wanted to share what I know and what I've learned and share that with people that maybe have not had the opportunity to have a mentor or to see people try cases and learn how to really try a case, not just move a case along to try to reach a settlement. And I will tell you that when I started to write the book and put in all the things I've learned, I want to make it very clear, I did not invent a lot of the trial techniques that I talk about. I use them the way I use them, and I've made them personal to me. As I say in the book, like Popeye, I am who I am, and so I had to make the techniques work for me and who I am. But a lot of techniques have been around a long time. They're just maybe not used appropriately, or sometimes lawyers read about it and try to use them the way maybe the author himself set it up. And I wanted to make sure that younger attorneys, or, you know, even attorneys without a lot of trial experience, understand there are techniques and tactics which they can apply to themselves to help really reach juries on a human level. And that's ultimately what we do. Ultimately, we're communicators, and we need to communicate with a jury. And America's a vast and complicated country with lots of different types of people and lots of ideologies, and you need to be able to break through and communicate with everyone. And I hope my book helps people to understand how to communicate and what it is we are communicating about.
That is so incredible. So basically, you are giving up-and-coming attorneys or attorneys that are even established a lot of real jewels of information on how to represent their clients better, therefore really serving the client base as well.
Yeah, sort of on a lighter note, you know, when I was writing the book, my wife began to fight with me that I was giving away my secret sauce, so to speak. And I tried to explain the secret sauce isn't so secret. It's really how you apply it and use it and being willing to spend the time to accurately put it to the facts of your case. But it was very funny. She was very upset I was giving away my secret sauce as I was writing the book.
I love it. So do you think that reading the book for people who are actually thinking of engaging an attorney would be educational as well?
Honestly, I think the book could be read by anyone that wants to communicate. I think business professionals would value from it. I think doctors would. I think salespeople would. It's really a book about communication. Now, obviously, there are specific things to trial attorneys in setting up, for instance, how to evaluate a case and how to set a case up in terms of framing a case. But overall, the book really is about how to communicate and express ideas to others that may not feel or have a shared opinion of exactly what you do. And so I think the book would really be of value for anyone that really wants to improve their communication skills and techniques.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Really, really important. So what do you think are the biggest mistakes people make in communication in general and attorneys specifically?
One of the biggest problems attorneys have is they get very caught up in the law. And although obviously we're attorneys and the law is important, law changes. Judges change laws. Judges think of laws differently. Legislatures are constantly rewriting laws. They're constantly deleting laws and adding new laws. Although laws have some relevancy and importance, the truth is facts are king. The facts of the case would matter. And if you can communicate the facts of your case, there's a good guy, there's a bad guy, and there's a bad act. And the bad act hurt the good guy. If you can really communicate those facts well, then I think that's really what drives any story. Because a trial attorney is a storyteller. And we need to be able to establish, like any good story, a good narrative and good characters and actions, and what we did to remediate and fix and help those actions and why those actions had these devastating effects. Like I said, insurance companies really run America, as shameful as that is. They control our legislature. They control our courts. They control everything we do. And so it's a very uphill battle to help individuals who've been injured, because individuals do not run or control the courts or the legislature the way these insurance companies and their money does. And so it's a very uphill battle. I talk about it in my book. I'm not afraid to talk about it, not afraid to say it. It's an ugly truth of what we deal with. And so these insurance companies have poisoned the water for years and years. They've told people things like, if you file a claim, your rates will go up. And that's just simply not true. They've said, if you sue doctors, doctors will leave the state. And it's just simply not true. They're just not truthful in the things they say. But those kind of things, those messages, poison a prospective jury pool. And so jurors come in predisposed to say, I don't know that I want to help this guy because it's going to hurt me individually. And you need to break through that when you tell your story. So we're storytellers, but we're storytellers with a mission. And the mission is to right a wrong. And that is what I think is one of the things that unfortunately is forgotten by a lot of attorneys who have a certain number of cases they need to move through. And these bigger firms, they really just got to make money to pay for advertising. Advertising gets them new cases. They got to move the new cases through to get the money to pay for more advertising. And it becomes somewhat of a machine. And I never wanted to be a businessman. I'm not part of that machine because I don't want to have to worry about the business of being a lawyer. I want to do what's right in being a lawyer and to help those that need help. Unfortunately, a lot of attorneys get caught in the business of being an attorney in trying to move cases through as opposed to work cases to right a wrong and obtain the justice that is so needed in this country, because the big insurance companies are so powerful and rich and so good at avoiding true justice. And quite frankly, it's why I titled my book, How Justice is Served, because that is really, I think, the overarching reach of what a trial attorney should be seeking.
That is so powerful. So I have to ask you, especially when you're doing medical malpractice, is there a challenge with finding, say, physicians that will be expert witnesses as a result of the fact that I've always got the feeling that they kind of all stick together? That could be my own misconception, but I was just wondering if that becomes an issue.
You're not wrong. It is not a misconception, and it is true. There's sort of a doctor brotherhood to break through. In truth, doctors will not testify against doctors in the state they practice. That is by and large true. So I generally have to leave the state I'm in. I have a national practice, so I've tried cases in 6 states. I've been in 8 states with these cases, and I have to go to different states to get doctors to testify. So I told you insurance companies run these things. There's a law in Florida they're trying to pass, which is my main office in Miami, Florida, that you have to be certified by the state to be a Florida doctor to serve as an expert against a Florida doctor, because they know Florida doctors won't testify against Florida doctors. It's really a disgusting law to try to stop these kind of cases, because doctors have a national practice. Once they're licensed as a physician, they can really work in any state. Their certification is national. So these are some of the disgusting tactics that insurance companies have got our legislature and our courts to uphold, because doctors do stick together and it's hard. Most of my experts, and this is part of what makes me who I am as a trial attorney, is I go to a lot of teaching hospitals and I get really good academic doctors that are also professors, because they teach students and they want students to do it the right way. And when they see a doctor doing it the wrong way, and it's against everything they teach, they're more willing to get involved and say, you know, that's not okay. That's not how I teach my students. But the defendants will pay a lot of money because they have very deep pockets of insurance companies. Their budgets are enormous. And they can afford very, very expensive doctors that are willing to say almost anything. And so you have to explain to a jury the difference in the quality of the experts they're hearing from. That's part of your storytelling when you try cases.
Wow. Again, that is really, really powerful. So what do you think the most important thing for a person who's seeking out an attorney to represent them in malpractice or any kind of personal injury or product liability case, what's the most important thing for them to look for in order to evaluate an attorney to represent them?
It's a great question. You want to look at a lawyer's background. What have they done? What cases have they done? Do they just settle everything or do they go to court? You want to know who they've sued and are they willing to go to the mat and fight with these insurance companies. One of those things is you're not allowed to sue an insurance company. You have to sue a named doctor. And even though the named doctor has very little to do with it, it's really the insurance company that runs the defense. You're not allowed to say that because that might be too powerful and not to their advantage. So you want to see who they've sued, what they've done. I always tell people if a lawyer has a lot of advertising, it means other people don't refer them cases. And so you don't want those kind of lawyers. All of my work comes from referral. Other clients send me new clients. They say, Jed was so amazing. He did such a good job. He's the lawyer you need. And quite frankly, that's sustained me for 25 years now, that my ex-clients or my clients I've helped send other clients to me. So I don't need billboards and TV commercials because I don't need to sort of convince anyone of what I've done. So, you know, if you find lawyers through advertising, be wary. Check them out. Make sure they're good attorneys. Make sure that they've really gone to the mat and they'll take the fight. They have the experience of your type of case. Not every lawyer does medical malpractice. Not every lawyer does product liability. You want to find the right lawyer in the area you're in. And then you want to check them out. Again, I'm a little older school than some of the younger attorneys, but you want to go to their office. You want to see if they're working out of their house. You want to see if they have professional staff. Who does the work, the lawyer or the assistants? Do they have a bullpen of 60 assistants doing all the work, or is the lawyer himself doing the work? You know, in my practice, I do all the work. I take all the intakes. It's my responsibility as the attorney to make sure I protect and take care of my client. I don't leave it to a whole group of assistants or paralegals to do it. I do it. And I would think as a client, you would want the lawyer responsible for you to do the work and not sort of pawn it off to someone who's not an attorney, no matter how much experience that assistant or paralegal has.
Well, obviously, intent is really an important factor in all of this. But if you are speaking to attorneys, what would you say is the biggest mistake they make in communication with clients, with juries, with everyone involved in the legal process?
Well, we'll start with clients. I think most lawyers take too many cases, and no lawyer can handle 15 cases and know the cases well enough. It's just impossible. So being a lawyer is a wonderful privilege. It's a great thing to do to help others, but you can't take so many cases you don't know the client and you don't know the facts. So the first thing I'd say is take less cases so you really know your cases. Even if it means you earn a little bit less money, that's all right. I sue doctors for a living, and I got to tell you, no doctor does harm on purpose, but no doctor could see 30 people a day and appropriately diagnose the rare sick condition. If you're seeing 30 people a day, they better all have little common colds or flus, because if they have a rare cancer, you're going to miss it. You can't diagnose it when you see that many people a day. And same goes for lawyers. They cannot find all the legal facts if they have too many cases. And then in communicating with judges, judges are difficult, and you need to make sure that you understand the case and the law so well that the judge is forced to see the case the way you present it, because most lawyers are not prepared well enough when they go to court. And then communicating with a jury, one of the biggest problems in communicating with a jury for lawyers, in my experience, has been the lawyer doesn't do the prep, and so the lawyer has to look at papers, and they get lost, and they confuse a jury because they're not prepared enough. And, you know, I tell people, young lawyers ask me all the time, what do I do? And for every hour I speak in court, I've prepared 100 hours. I've read 1,000 pages. And 100 hours of prep and 1,000 pages of reading is enough for me to talk for 1 hour. So if I'm talking for 10 hours in a day, you can imagine how many hours of prep that takes and how many pages I've read. And you have to do the time. Otherwise, you look confused and the jury will be confused.
Wow. That, again, is really just so powerful when you think about the whole judicial system and how sometimes it may malfunction if it's not based on really great communication and research and intent for doing the best for the client, which you do, which is wonderful. So is there any other tips in how justice is served that you'd like to share with us before we part?
Sure. There's always a time to be reasonable, understand your case, understand the pitfalls of your case, to talk to the other side, talk to the insurance company or the insurance company lawyer, to try to really be reasonable and work things out. But then there are times where that just doesn't happen, and I call it in my book going rocky. And you just got to stand toe-to-toe and swing away. And not every lawyer is always willing to do that because there's a lot of risk involved when you stop negotiating and just go after them. And sometimes it's necessary, and you can't be afraid to do that. You need to know when it's right, the right time, and when it is the right time, you can't be afraid to say, forget it. I don't want to talk to you anymore. We're going to the jury, and I'm just going to stand there and, you know, swing away with my legal arguments and talk to the jury. Obviously, there's always fear involved in doing it, and that's all right. A little fear is healthy, but sometimes you need to do it. Sometimes you just need to right a wrong. You can't just work it out. Unfortunately, because it's so expensive to do that and it's so difficult to get to trial and it's so expensive, and again, insurance companies have essentially unlimited budgets. I mean, they literally have millions and tens of millions of dollars to fight you, and you're a solo lawyer or a small firm. You have to fight those gigantic costs and expenses and take that risk. Sometimes you just have to do it. And I talk about that in my book. But I also secondarily would say a case should never be just about the money. Clients very rarely come to me and say, I got hurt, I want money. What they say to me is, I got hurt, and I don't want it to happen again to someone else. And I want the doctor to know he made the mistake. And I want the hospital to change its policies and rules. This shouldn't happen again. And essentially, they're saying they want justice. And if you're not fighting for justice, then you're in the wrong field, because fighting for money, there's a lot of other ways to make money, a lot easier ways to make money. You're there to fight for justice, to fight for change. And if you do that and you do it well, the money will come. But that should not be the goal of a trial attorney in the field that we're in, which is personal injury, which is helping really severely injured people, because they need help. And in the end, they want justice. They want change. And that's what we're really fighting for.
Wow, Jed, that is so, so beautiful. So I know your book that everyone should get because it's so enormously helpful for communication for everyone, but especially for attorneys, How Justice is Served. They can find that on Amazon as a bestseller. But tell us how they might be able to connect with you if they want more information about you or your services.
Sure. They can go to my website, which is kktplaw.com. That is my law firm, Kurzban, Kurzban, Titzelli & Pratt, and I'm Jed Kurzban. Or they could email me directly, and I'm always happy to answer questions and help young attorneys. And I do a lot of lecturing, and I always give out my cards, and I'm happy to answer questions and help. My email is also on the website, and they can always just email and reach out to me. Those are the best ways to really get a hold of me is through the website and email.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom and your wonderful commitment to justice, which we don't see every day anymore. And I so appreciate you being here and sharing everything with our audience.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, I hope more people will realize there's a lot of good in the world we can do. People ask me all the time, they kind of make fun of trial lawyers, and I said, you know, in the end, they don't stop making cars that exploded because they wanted to. They did it because trial lawyers made them. They didn't stop using asbestos because they didn't want to use it anymore. They did it because trial lawyers made them stop using asbestos. We stopped them from putting lead in paint, from putting glass in children's toys because it's a cheaper filler. You know, it's the trial lawyers that really stop that and make the world better. And we need more trial lawyers because the world needs to be made better. And we're the ones that do that. Businesses don't on their own do things better.
Wow. Really powerful. Chad, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your wisdom and the intent that's not always connected with how the justice system works, and instilling that in other lawyers is just so wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for those of you who are interested in learning more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global broadcasting communities, you can find us at mybookmybiz.com. That's MYBOOKMYBIZ.com. And everyone have a fabulous week.